Good afternoon, everyone. Let's begin our session of the GAC with the Security, Stability, and Resiliency Review Team, who are here to talk about their final report. To my right, I have the chair of the review team, Alejandro Pesanti, and he may wish to introduce other colleagues in the review team as well present today. But I understand that you're going to walk us through a presentation related to the report, and then GAC members may have questions that they would like to ask of you. So please, I'll hand over to you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Madam Chair, dear friend Heather. Thank members of the GAC for opening up this session in your schedule. For us, there are a number of members of... My name is Alejandro Pesanti. I'm very proud to have served as chair of the Stability, Security, and Resilience of the DNS Review Team, and to be able to deliver now the final report of that team. I'll describe the process in a second. There are several members of this review team here in the room. Simon McCalla, who will do part of the presentation. Alice Munua, who has been the GAC representative. Anders Rafting, I think, must be around or arrive soon, who was also a GAC member detailed to the review team. Hartmut Glaser, Martin Hannigan, David Cake, and Andre Philip. Since they are sitting behind me, I'm not sure I'm speaking about every other member. Is there anyone else I should mention? And we're in advance, I'll say that we're very thankful to members of ICANN staff who were also detailed to support us and who have done a fantastic job and made our work really much easier and smoother. Prominently, Ms. Alice Jansen, Mr. Olaf Nordling, and then the ICANN security staff, Patrick Jones, Jeff Moss, and a few others, and Denise Michel, have been extremely helpful to us. And I'm sure I'm missing someone, but believe me, it's not because of lack of thankfulness. The presentation we have prepared for you is very simple. Basically, what we want to say, the presentation mostly contains one slide each with the recommendations we made. We won't walk you through them in detail, but we are open to questions about them. What we will do is tell you very quickly what we did, what are our most general findings, and then be open for questions. First, we have to remind people that this review team was convened based on the affirmation of commitments. This is one of the four review teams that are mandated by the affirmation of commitments, and its mandate began in October 2010. We first met in December 2010, so we've basically been a year and a half, 18 months in the project, which was more or less the foreseen duration, and we're happy that we made it in most exactly the really foreseen time. The composition, as you know, has representatives from all supporting organizations and advisory committees. It has independent experts, has a designated nominee of the chair of the GAC and a designated nominee of ICANN's president and CEO. We had our terms of reference. We divided the work in sub-teams. At the end, we had two divisions into sub-teams. For the first few months, we had a functional division into rules and policy, into implementation and risk management. And after we had a first set of documents ready, we re-split the team mostly into a core drafting team and the rest of the team. So that the core drafting team was in charge of editing, managing language from different members, putting together one after another drafts. We got to something like version 23 over the process, which tells you there was an extremely intense, careful work. Much of this drafting and redrafting was also based on the public consultations we held on the different versions of the draft and on the before we had the draft, on the different findings that we were making and calling for input from the community. Another process characteristic that I would like to put forward, to put before you, is that we decided to do something different than other review teams have done, which was not calling. We decided not to call on external experts, but mostly to rely on our own expertise. That was a judgment call based on the idea that before we, that the time it would take to write the terms of reference for putting out a bid for consultants, putting together a budget and so forth, will be more or less equivalent to the time that we needed to do the work ourselves. The level of penetration of the review is such that we did not need to bring in technical expertise, because this is another important definition that I would beg you to keep in mind. This review is a review of ICANN's action at the level of, or with the objective of, preserving and enhancing the stability, security, and resilience of the DNS. What it is not is important to define this better. This is not a technical information technology security review or audit. This is not a technical audit of how security is working in ICANN. This is not an audit looking at whether there's a way to track the most recent vulnerabilities and actually do some penetration testing. It's not that kind of technical work. That would be in a layer of aggregation that's finer than we're working at. And the other thing that our work is not, is it is not a political review. It is not a large-scale review of the political forces that may be destabilizing in the long term the DNS. That, again, we think that that should be in a risk management framework, but it's not our task to review that level. And then, of course, we believe that our report is pretty thorough and balanced in the level at which it works, and we think it's the level at which the AOC reviews are mandated. I'll repeat something I have said in previous presentations. We took this work very seriously from the affirmation of commitments point of view. We realize that the affirmation of commitments changes the relationships between ICANN and everyone else in a very significant manner. It is not providing a checklist to the U.S. government NTIA for reviewing step by step what ICANN is doing. It's much bigger. It's a much higher responsibility, because that the U.S. government can still do with our review and everything else, but it's now the GAC and everyone else in the community that is doing this review, or for whom we are providing this first input for the review. And that is an extremely important step in the establishment and testing of the multi-stakeholder model. So that gave us a mandate to be really careful, really deep and balanced and complete in our work. If we failed there, we will need that to be signaled particularly, so that the review of reviews can take this into account. The content of the results of the, well, I mean, we've been displaying in the slides the timing and the, you know, the history of the work. If we move forward, we will have the recommendations. So as I said here, instead of going through all 28 recommendations, I will be now make a very brief description of our general findings, and Simon McCullough will walk you through the structure of the document so it's easier to read. Our main findings is that ICANN is generally performing reasonably in its mission of preserving and enhancing the stability, resilience, and stability, security, and resilience of the DNS. There is room for improvement in many parts of this mission. It's not like there's here this statement has to be qualified. It's not like there's huge room for improvement, which means that would be a euphemism, a polite way of saying that a lot of things are wrong and very wrong. There are things that can be fixed, improved all over. We didn't find any, you know, near crisis happening at the stability, security, and resiliency level. We find improvements that can be made in documenting things, in deciding things, and in action. Documentation has actually become more crisp as a result of our interaction with ICANN staff. That made it even more challenging to perform this review, because it was after a moving target. The adjustments that were being made to the mission statements, to the budget, to the planning, and so forth, were constant. And we are happy about that because that means that we were really impinging on what we needed to. ICANN needs to have a very good definition of what its security, stability, and resilience remit is about. I personally think that questions of scope will always haunt ICANN. It will always be a moving target as well. But we find, together with ICANN staff and board members, that ICANN has like three spaces for its remit in stability, security, and resilience. One of them is the most inner core. It's the people who are in the payroll, the servers that are operated by ICANN itself. ICANN operations, which are within its hierarchical structure and its board. Then there's a second sphere, which is where ICANN interacts with others, doesn't have a mandate upon them, but has the ability to lead or cooperate closely. That would be the supporting organizations, advisory committees, and their members. And a third sphere, which is everything else in the world, to which ICANN is actually very loosely coupled. I mean, you would have everybody who consults the DNS, people like ISPs who establish a DNS infrastructure, people who are interested in using the DNS creatively, people who are interested in attacking the internet through the DNS or who have the DNS as a target itself, but over which ICANN doesn't have any mandate. So this third sphere has to be handled mostly through outreach and education to the community, and this cannot be done directly only by ICANN, but also with leadership to many others or providing information others need, and very particularly and very pointedly in risk management. This has to be considered as, the origin of risks, and ICANN is not like sitting idly there, but there's not like, it's also not like, you have a mandate over Angolan hackers that you can actually tell them to stop bothering the DNS. So that would be the basic part I would like to present, and hand it over to Simon McCall.
Thank you, Alejandro. What I'd like to do, just very briefly, rather than run you through all 28 of our recommendations, we'll just very briefly give you an oversight into the structure of the report, and then some of the key themes that will hopefully give you some insight into how we were thinking. So firstly, we looked at the mandate for the group, and we decided to split and write our report to reflect that mandate. So the very first section of the report talks very much about ICANN's scope and its structure with respect to SSR. What we found in our recommendations as we looked through that was that ICANN probably could do with helping to clarify its SSR remit, make it very simple and straightforward for the community to understand. Use consistent terminology, use consistent wording and language when it talks about SSR, and to use that language to help define the nature of its SSR relationships in a multi-stakeholder model that's absolutely vital, as it has to lean on the community to do its work. Understanding those relationships and making them really, really effective, we thought would be the key to a really successful SSR mission. So the first six recommendations really reflect those themes and reflect our desire for that to happen. The second piece of the report, and probably the meat of the report, if you like, is around the effectiveness and the implementation of ICANN's SSR framework and activities. And there's quite a lot of detail in here. It runs all the way from recommendation 7 right through to recommendation 22. And here we looked at, firstly, how did ICANN define its objectives? How did it measure against goals? How could the community and how could ICANN judge whether it was being successful in its SSR activities? So we've called for some greater clarification around goals, greater clarification around the way the community can recognize whether ICANN is doing a great job with SSR or not. We looked at very much at the structure and the budget assigned to SSR activities. And one of the key findings we found, for example, was there's quite a lot of money spent. I think for FY11, somewhere around the $7 million were spent on SSR activities. But actually tracking how that was being spent down through the organization was challenging. So, again, clarity of structure, clarity of budget was really important, and that's reflected in the recommendations. We looked at how ICANN could consider becoming a very process-driven organization. We looked at certification, so the ISO schemes and some of the other schemes there, and ITIL. This isn't trying to find some kind of new certification for ICANN's unique activities. It's more about ICANN aligning its processes with some of the more standard accreditations. So we thought that was really important. We looked also, too, to outreach and the way that ICANN uses its outreach mission to affect its SSR activities. And we noted that there were some excellent areas where that was being done very well, but also some areas where ICANN probably ought to consider modifying its approach in order to make its outreach much more effective, particularly as the community and the nature of the internet changes, making sure that outreach is relevant to the various stakeholders. And a good example of that is DNSSEC, for example, where they've had really great success in the registry space, but the ISPs and some of the registrars have not really caught up. So how can we modify that approach to really make sure that everybody is being included in that? And then when we move on to section three, we took a look at very much, this is more the future-gazing side of the report. So we looked at the way ICANN manages and understands threat and risk. And here we found that again, clarity of the organization to allow ICANN to really understand how it assesses threats, how it assesses the threat landscape, and how it looks at risk was really important. And we recognized that actually there was no formal risk framework within ICANN that we could find. And we felt that that would be absolutely vital if you're looking to create an effective forward-looking SSR plan, that you understand the risks and the nature of the threats that are around you and have a way of measuring that and then aligning that to your SSR plans. So a very key call at the back of the end of the report is for a proper, thorough risk management framework. And so that wraps up roughly our 28 recommendations split across those three sections. Alejandro, I don't know if there's anything you'd like to add on to that.
Would you like to add, Alejandro, or?
No, I think that we are set for questions and comments.
So thank you very much for that introduction to your final report. I note that there are a number of links to topics that we were discussing earlier today. In fact, we've been discussing contracting and compliance and registrar accreditation and these kinds of issues. And I can see where you have recommendations that very much are also supporting the reports and issues being raised by the GAC and elsewhere in the community. With that, are there any questions or comments for the members of the review team? Australia, please.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for the excellent overview of the work that you've been doing. I had the honour of being the GAC Chair's delegate to the Who Is review team, which was working at much the same time as interesting to hear many of the same themes resonating across reports. I was noting that sort of the budget transparency was a theme that Who Is review team looked at as well. Clarity of purpose and clear documentation and so on were all themes that we looked at as well. So hopefully those sort of themes will resonate with the community and the board when looking at these two different reports. One of the things in particular that the Who Is review team spent a fair bit of time focusing on was compliance, ICANN's compliance activities, and there was a very clear link there in that there are some very clear Who Is provisions and there were concerns about whether they are being enforced and so on. The GAC has also been discussing and talking with the board about ICANN's compliance function, and I'd be interested if you could say a few words about the compliance from a security and stability point of view. It may be a perspective that we've not considered, but certainly I haven't looked at in any detail.
Very briefly, we considered compliance. I mean, compliance was a very visible issue when we started to work. It was very hot and very controversial. So we certainly made sure that we looked at it. And very briefly, the conclusion is that we agree. Contract compliance is a very important factor for the stability of the organization, for the security, and what's implied in security and stability is the certainty that things will work in a certain way, in a given expected prescribed way. And we therefore back, let's say, from the security, stability, and resilience point of view, we do back all efforts that ICANN is doing, and we support that, you know, even a step up in the efforts for contract compliance. We realize, again, this is subject to a number of forces. There's occasions where compliance is perceived by some parties to be in conflict with other values. That should be, of course, taken into account. As you will see in the report, in most places it's explicit in the report, and in others it should be visibly implicit, that we are always recommending that actions by ICANN are taken in the regular, prescribed, multi-stakeholder, participative, bottom-up way, so that all values that could be perceived as in conflict with certain processes for compliance are taken into account. But certainly contractual compliance is seen as an important contribution. I will mention there also, as a derivative of what I already said, this was a very specific question by the GAC, and it was very clearly outlined in the AOC mandate for this review, which is procedural clarity, process clarity. And we find that for the functions that we studied, ICANN has done a lot of work to have much more clarity of process. Things like, you know, you look at the policy development processes and the ways things are decided, the way budgets are consulted, the way that now the SSR framework itself is put out for consultation. And we believe that those things have already a good work towards procedural clarity or clarity of process. And we support, again, everything that ICANN can do with the community as a whole to have even clearer processes for this. That also hitches with your comment on budget and documentation clarity.
Thank you for that. Are there any others?
You have David Cake.
Just David Cake from the SSR review team. Just another reply to the question from Australia. Also, contract compliance includes escrow, which is an absolutely key resiliency requirement. And we did identify that in the report.
Thank you. Singapore, please.
Thank you, Chair. First of all, thank you very much for the SSR review team for the very comprehensive recommendation you have put forward. I'm just curious to find out whether, in making all these recommendations, whether the review team has sort of indicated any broad time frame for, you know, implementing those recommendations, at least for some recommendation which the review team may think that is of some urgency. Is there any sort of indication from the review team about this time frame of implementation? Thank you.
I think we deliberately tried to step away from sort of defining any specific time frames for these recommendations. However, I think one of the key natures of the way we went about the review was we spent a lot of time liaising with the ICANN security team in order to make sure that the recommendations that we did put forward were implementable and were implementable in a way that they could be got on with and actioned very quickly. So I would hope that many of the recommendations you see here, once accepted by the board, we will be able to see good and strong movement. And I think it would be fair to say that one of the great things we've seen from the ICANN team has been they have already been acting on some of the things in the draft report. We've seen consultations and we've seen documents published already that are reacting to this very report, and in fact the draft version of this report. So I think that shows a strong will and desire by the ICANN team to get on with some of the findings in this report. So I feel very strongly that they're going to be in a position where they'll be able to show great progress quite quickly.
United States and Argentina, please.
Thank you, and let me join colleagues, of course, in thanking you for your presentation and, of course, for all of your hard work. We were quite taken with the number of recommendations that you developed, and they're all extremely helpful. But I guess if I could follow Chunsai's sort of comment, is if you had a if you could choose a priority ranking of the recommendations, would you be able to do so? So that would be one question. We'd be interested in getting your sense of what your priorities would be. And then I guess I'm glad to hear you mention the fact that and you're saying it in a positive way, so I'm reassured by that, that ICANN has already started to seek public comment. I confess we were a little bit confused as to, just from a process point of view, that your final report is still out for comment, or is it final? Because we weren't sure about then ICANN posting a piece of that for comment. So we weren't sure we understood the juxtaposition of the two. If you wouldn't mind shedding light on that, thank you.
Thank you. And as my friend Raul Echeverria used to say, it has a certain thrill to say thank you, U.S., in the multi-stakeholder model for an individual. That aside, first, your last question. The report is final. The version that you have is what we planned as the final version. ICANN has put it out for comment following clear process. This has just been out, so you have to absorb it. But the comment that is now requested by ICANN is directed to the board for implementation of the report. It's not like going back to the review team for us to redo any part. I mean, unless we would redo anything that's, you know, found wrong, counterfactual, etc. I think we would reconvene for that, of course, with lots of goodwill and open ears. But the report's final, delivered to ICANN and the board and the, you know, the GAC and the community. And the comment that is requested by the process now is comment directed to the board to see ways to implement the report. I think that gives you clarity on where the comments are still open. ICANN took the unprecedented step, and we know it's found confusing, but we finally are more in favor of it. ICANN took the unprecedented step of sort of guessing that some recommendations were going to be in the final report, like the ones about clarity of process in budgeting and so forth, and started a public consultation about those while the report was still in the draft stage in the last few weeks before we delivered it as final. But, my guess is that these lines had not really changed very much over the 20-something draft versions. So they preferred to jumpstart that process early instead of waiting for the final report and its absorption by the board. So they gained about a year in a very valuable consultation. And so from the review team point of view, we're actually happy that this was done. We're supportive of this consultation. Although it was done on a draft version, it's a useful one, and it didn't change. The text was really stable about these recommendations. With your question now, to your first question of priority, I would say that I always distinguish between, this is personal, I always distinguish between priority and precedence. Do we have recommendations that we think are particularly important? Do we think there are recommendations that should on which ICANN should start to work right away? And I would distinguish between those two in the sense that, for example, working on the budget, working on public consultations for the SSR framework and so forth should start so early that it has already started. Now, the timing for that is minus 6 months, and they started, which, we're supportive of. As for priority, the most important task, I think that, again, we didn't assign priorities in this sense because we thought, you know, it's like more for the board and community now to do so. But personally, and I would say that there's a number of people in the review team who think the same, the most important task for ICANN is the one that's already started with the board working group, which is to establish a comprehensive risk framework for the DNS. I will give you a bit more detail because I think this will help the GAC in its work in particular. We started hearing of a request from many in the community for ICANN to make a map of the threat landscape to the DNS. We analyzed this and concluded that getting the threat landscape would only be part of what ICANN needs, because you only get a list of threats and maybe some priority and urgency about them. but you don't get a consideration of the cost of responding to them, the timeliness or the time it takes to develop responses to the threats, and how to articulate between those responses. So that's where we went from the threat landscape to a risk management framework. That's much more comprehensive. The other point of view about this, and again, this is more personal, but it is stated in the report, is that this risk framework has to be comprehensive. But on the other hand, we would urge the ICANN board working group to start with what they can and then build up the rest of the framework as time goes. It's so important and also significantly urgent that you cannot wait for having the complete thing, which will you will never finish because it's a moving target. So that's that should answer your question there. I don't know if there's further comment from the team here.
I have Argentina and Netherlands and Italy.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you very much to the team for the work and for the presentation. It's a comment and a question. Being a university teacher, apart from being an advisor to the government of Argentina, I notice very few awareness in universities about what everything that happens in ICANN. I am the only one that usually talks about that to my students and to other colleagues also, other teacher colleagues. So my question was about the outreach activities that you mentioned, if you could explain them a little bit further, and especially about Latin America, if you could give us some comments, and if us could be kind of a liaison to broad your voice over there, then that could be something interesting, for at least for me. Thank you.
Certainly. So to address your outreach comment, what we noticed was we tried to take a look at some other organizations that had gone through this this kind of process themselves, and we noted the success of ISOC with its IP version 6, World IPv6 Day. And what we found what was really interesting about what they'd done was they'd gone beyond their traditional community to reach out to businesses such as Google and folk like that to get them engaged. And as a result, had created a real momentum behind World IPv6 Day. And we call that out specifically in the report and say this is a great example of how if you take a look at a problem slightly differently, sometimes you can make your outreach activities much, much more effective. And so what we've looked at in the report is what outreach activities are going really well and what possibly could be considered to be needing to be changed. And I think the trick here is very much looking at what it is you're trying to achieve and who are the right parties to reach out. And in many cases, reaching out through the existing ICANN community is the right way to do that. But there will be occasions, particularly as the internet landscape changes, where sometimes reaching beyond the ICANN community to a new community of people, whether that's in business or whether that's an academic community, is absolutely the right way to get to push your outreach without significantly increasing the cost and the amount of people involved. So we've not been specific or prescriptive about that, but we have recommended that ICANN take a look and make sure it's constantly evaluating, is this still the right approach or do we need to look differently?
Thank you. You have a comment to add?
Yes. To complement what Simon has said, there are a number of, we took into account very significantly in the report some of the outreach activities that ICANN is doing, both, as Simon has mentioned, through the traditional ICANN community, in cooperation with ISOC and other organizations, CCTLDs and many others, who, although they are part of the traditional community, they get into places where the, let's say, the official press effort does not go. And things that go around some operational activities which are also enhancing the resilience of the DNS, which is, for example, setting up Anycast copies of the root. Some of them are being done by other routes, but like the F root is very active. But the ICANN's effort with the L root has recently been stepped up. We see very favorably the plan there, which is to make sort of a DNS in a box, as they call it colloquially inside ICANN, which is make a very low-cost copy of the root, of the L root, that can be installed in very few days, and a lot of good training gets done there. And that also attracts honest goodwill from the people who get this benefit. It serves the internet community locally. It makes the DNS more resilient without increasing badly, let's say disproportionately, the overhead of managing it or the cost to ICANN and the community. We found that kind of activity very useful. For all we know, it does get done with collaboration with local communities, as I mentioned, not only the CCTLD manager, for example, but also reaching out to the technical community in the country. And that will include in many places the university people, because in many places these are the only ones who have both the knowledge and the interest. And maybe also some private ISPs, but they maybe won't at the beginning make the same level of effort as university instructors or professors or researchers to make a robust implementation. And finally, there's a number of efforts that exist for outreach about the DNS and ICANN matters, like the one you chair with the SSIG, which we believe would go back and read the recommendations. You will see that there's some couple of places where we recommend that every component of ICANN or people who want to help ICANN, that's more colloquially, take into account the stability, security, and resilience considerations and put them into their work.
Netherlands, please.
Yes, thank you. Just one question about, I think in line also with US comments, I had a little trouble of seeing the trees in the wood, as we say, in Netherlands. A little trouble with seeing the trees in the wood, as we say, in the Netherlands, because there are a lot of recommendations. I wonder if there's a kind of grouping which you can say, and also, of course, I'm just as US, I'm very interested in see what are the real priorities there within these. And I can see that a lot of the recommendations are intended to have more transparency, to know that the SSR is working on things, the framework, the intention that other constituencies take SSR serious and what they can do for them. But I'm wondering if there's some kind of grouping and what do you consider as a priority? Thank you.
Certainly. I think going back to some of what we said earlier, I think you're absolutely right. The first grouping, I think, and that goes right across the report, is about clarity. And I think there is a number of recommendations in here that are specifically calling for clarity around budget, clarity around process, clarity around people. The second grouping I would suggest is around documentation, writing that down, and then using that. Once you define that clarity, it's using that to be more effective, whether that's in terms of how you manage finances, whether that's how you manage ICANN manages relationships, or whether that's how ICANN manages the threat landscape. So that second layer, if you like, on top of that clarity is make sure you're using that and not trying to do things in an ad hoc manner. And I think there's quite a significant chunk of recommendations about structure as well, and about making sure you've got a very clear structure and how you're going to go about implementing some of these changes, whether it's through people, whether it's through process, or whether it's about sticking to a specific way of working and making sure that you've defined that well, measured it well, and can be the community can look in and see whether that has been successful. Because one of the things we found throughout our activities were it took us quite a while to understand how well things were actually working. It wasn't clear. There were no clear measurable goals, or it was difficult to find clear measurable objectives in a lot of the documentation and a lot of the activities. So I think that there's some very significant groupings there, and I think you see those themes coming through each of the three sections of the report, which is the scope and the structure, the effectiveness of the implementation, and then understanding that risk landscape. Those themes play throughout those three sections, I think.
To complement this, all members of the team have faced the elevator time report question. What's the report that you would give in 20 seconds, in a minute, in an elevator? But it depends on who we are directing it to. It's a different set of priorities for the GAC, for the GNSO, for the board, and so forth. And as I mentioned, the most urgent tasks are clarity about the budgets and plans for the next year. That, I mean, you can take a lot of the language, as Simon has already mentioned. It's directly implementable. Take it into the next cycle of planning. Use the things that the community has already been doing to build a risk management framework as fast as possible, at least a core framework that you can start working with. And here I would also like to mention the DSSA work, the work that has been identifying the threat landscape from a community collaboration, has been very valuable feedback, and we believe that the board can absorb that, or the working group from the, of the board should absorb that immediately. That would be, you know, the clear cutoff of what are the highlights, at least for what we believe we interpret as the GAC's needs. And we, of course, I mean, it supports GAC questions like compliance, RAA, and so forth, which maybe weren't even as highlighted when we started as they are now. Or compliance, for example, was a huge highlight, and now it has sort of gotten into the general conversation, so we don't need to point that starkly to it. Because it's being, not because we think it doesn't have to be done, it's very important, but it's already being managed in the dialogue.
Thank you for that. I have two final requests to speak, and then we're running a bit late, so we will tie up the session. So I have Italy and UK, please.
Okay, thank you. A few notes. First of all, it was clarified that this request for comment is made by the board. And then looking at the AOC, the board should be called to take some decision about accepting the recommendations by middle of December, or at the latest, I would say, first meeting of next year. And this is quite important thing that to take in mind of what we expect from the board and when to decide. Then I want to say that what I see here, and my compliments to the substance of this study that is really outstanding in my opinion, is that in the past, the impression was that the board relied on two voluntary advisory groups, the SS, the Security and Stability Committee, and the Root Service System Committee. And now what you are asking for is a more complete planning, is it taking much more direct responsibility from ICANN and improving the staff structure and invest in order to have more secure, let's say, decision-making well prepared by the staff. This is quite an important aspect to me, and is the real change that I see here. Thank you.
Thank you, Italy. UK, please.
Thanks very much, Chair, and thanks very much for the summary overview of the review team's report. It's very helpful, and it's a very important one. There's quite a lot of reassurance in it, of course, that there's nothing fundamentally wrong in ICANN's approach to this critical issue, and all the those recommendations that concern clarity and definition and communication are well made, and I agree the implementation should now steam ahead. And it's good to know that the risk management framework is already in hand. So that's all very good news. There's going to be another review. So I won, you know, with all these recommendations and all these actions quickly deployed, what do you think the next step would be for the next review? I mean, bearing in mind what's going to happen over the next 2 to 3 years, if you could just give one or two pointers just quickly, I know we're running out of time, that would be very helpful, given that this is not a one-off thing. The work that's been done here really does set things in order, sets the house in order, if you like. What's next? Thank you.
Thank you. We thought a lot about that, you know, in trying to make the report with the foresight that there will be a new review in 3 years. This is, in many ways, this is a baseline assessment with some forward-looking. The next one will have to be really an evaluation of how things have been changed, improved by absorbing whatever good is in this proposal. In 3 years, I believe that I can, as a derivative of this, as a consequence of this review, I can should have a comprehensive, participatively built risk management framework that has a clear process for updates, which recognizes the need for some confidential information as well as some very open exchanges, and that has a good connection, that means a very active, interactive connection with sources of information and informed opinion for managing that risk management framework. ICANN would have decided in 3 years what formal certifications are appropriate for its staff, like, you know, mentioned here, ITIL, COVID, ISO 27000, and so forth. ICANN should also have made it clear to the community that some of its processes are original enough or specific enough that it's a waste of time and effort to go and get those out. There would be a lot of clarity about what ICANN is doing in SSR, whether it's doing it for its core function, whether it's doing it in interaction with contracted or actively structurally active parties, or managing with the outward community. The budget, let's say, when you look at the budget in 3 years, you should not be uncertain about half of the security budget, but you, let's say 80% of the security budget should be clearly accounted for. That would be my measure for it. We are not prescribing any figure, but let's say if it's 25 or 40% now that's clearly accounted for, that should improve to about 80%. In any organization where any of the team members has worked, there's always some fuzziness about where you account for security functions. Is the doorman a security function? So with that in mind, that, let's say the percentage of budget covered by this analysis should be a much larger one. I think those would be the most notable parts. I don't know if Simon or other members would like to add to that.
Just briefly, I think very much this report is a foundation. It's the first review of the SSR activities. My view is that by the time the next review team is standing in front of you with a final report on this subject, we'll have a new top-level domain program thoroughly underway, and they will be able to assess the efficacy and also the effect on SSR of that. Hopefully there will be a strong and solid risk framework in place, of which, again, that team will be able to assess how well that risk framework is really working, particularly in light of the new TLD program. And I believe if this report is implemented, that team will be reviewing how effective the SSR documented plans, goals, and objectives are being, and that the ICANN will be into its second or maybe even third round of yearly reviews of goals and objectives around SSR. So I'm hoping that in many ways they'll build upon this report, and we will see almost a part two of this report where we see how effective some of these measures really have been.
Thank you very much for those additional clarifications. So thank you to all the members of the review team for coming to brief us today about the final report, and thank you for all the work that we know goes into working on these review teams on a voluntary basis. And it's a significant amount of work that you have carried out, so we do appreciate it here in the GAC, and I expect that we will want to continue discussing these issues after today. And particularly if there are ongoing comments about implementation of the recommendations being conducted by the board and so on, then we hope to continue our efforts in the area of security, stability, and resiliency at ICANN. So many thanks for meeting with us.
Thank you.
For the GAC, we now have a domain name market briefing. So if we can just remain as we are, please. We'll move into the next session in a few seconds. As we have a number of staff briefing, registrars, registries briefing, as well as the board in attendance, if we can try to make some room around